Chapter 11. Will is reading, wrapped in a blanket on the downstairs bed. Hannibal will die before he refers to it as a daybed. When Hannibal gets home. He puts down his book and turns on the lamp, then looks up at Hannibal.
How was dinner with your sacrificial lamb?
Predictable. Funny you should call him that. I told Chilton the curried intestines were from sheep.
Will makes a disgusted face. How many years have you been pulling the same prank and still finding it funny?
Oh, decades. Though every dish is unique, so I would argue its variations on a theme.
Unlikely to catch on the way the Goldberg variations did. Hannibal has to admit.
And Frederick is hardly an innocent. He has never taken a life directly, but as an incompetent psychiatrist he has done incalculable damage, and not just to the criminally insane.
Hannibal takes in the way Will has the blanket wrapped tightly around his shoulders, despite the space heater.
I don't expect you to wait up for me at any time, but especially not if you are not feeling well.
I can't sleep up there by myself. There's a petulant edge to the words. Hannibal regards his contrary little love, and decides that Will wants to be coddled, but can't admit to it. He is finding his intuition is generally correct about these things, very possibly helped along by their bond. He tugs Will to his feet.
You won't be by yourself now.
He kisses him, and Will kisses back eagerly enough, but Hannibal is distracted all over again.
You're very warm.
I don't feel warm, Will grumbles. Hannibal sniffs Will and notes the distinctive sweet hot odor of a fever, as delicious on Will as everything else.
You have a fever. Let's get you into a bath, he decides.
Once the bath is drawn, Will steps in and looks surprised.
It's warm, he says. I thought you were going to make it cold.
Never cold. That would only make a fever worse, and there is no need to bring your temperature down with a lukewarm bath at this point. Best just relax and let it run its course. Hannibal strips and slides into the tub behind Will, who reclines against his chest with a pleased hum. Hannibal runs the sponge over as much of Will as he can reach, then squeezes it out over Will's hair and picks up the shampoo. Will groans happily when Hannibal starts to massage his scalp.
Now I know why that feels indecent when I get a haircut, Will mumbles.
Hannibal pretends not to know who cuts Will's hair. They do a good job with it, displaying his curls to their best advantage while understanding that Will generally can't be bothered with styling. Better for everyone if Hannibal's jealousy remains undirected.
Rinse,
he instructs softly, pushing up Will's shoulders, and Will closes his eyes and sinks beneath the water while Hannibal tousles his hair clean and the water murky. When he surfaces, Hannibal spreads conditioner on his hands and starts massaging Will all over again. By the time his hair is rinsed a second time, Will is lolling bonelessly in the water. Really, he's more than relaxed enough to sleep well, but Hannibal's motto when it comes to Will is excess in all things, and Will's pliancy is... inspiring. Maneuvering carefully to avoid soaking the floor, although with a new tile and drain, it's more about slipperiness than damaging the house. Hannibal switches their positions so Will is against the wall of the tub and Hannibal is facing him. Will squints at him when Hannibal starts fondling him under the water.
I thought you said I should relax.
And this will relax you. Not yet erect, Will's cock can be contained in Hannibal's hand along with his balls. It twitches and moves like a sleepy little animal under Hannibal's touch, coming slowly to life. Hannibal needs to do this on dry land sometime, so he can feel this happening in his mouth, feel the currents of Will's blood rushing along under his skin to swell and harden the flesh. They spend almost every night together now, but somehow Hannibal's sexual to-do list keeps getting longer. For the moment, he contents himself with slowly stroking and rubbing Will to hardness. He uses his other hand to tilt Will's head up for kisses, and then back so he can suck and nibble on all the sensitive spots on Will's throat. Will doesn't stay passive for long, twisting and then bucking under Hannibal, sloshing water over the edges of the tub.
I love how you quicken for me,
Hannibal breathes in Will's ear. Then sucks his earlobe. He rubs just behind Will's balls, savoring Will's gasp.
That's good, because this is gonna be quick.
Will stammers, clutching the rim of the bathtub, already starting to shake as he ruts uncontrollably into Hannibal's fist. Hannibal grins and takes a deep breath, then slips under the water and slurps Will into his mouth. Will's shout echoes in his chest through the water and through the murk, traces of them both floating in the water, mingling like soup. And Hannibal allows that it is a little peculiar of him to want to drink it. He can see Will reach up to yank at his own hair, beside himself with pleasure. Hannibal swallows contentedly around the head of Will's cock, and rolls his balls in his fingers. He imagines himself as some undersea creature, lavishing attention on a poor shipwrecked sailor drifting in the waves. Soon he will pull Will under to keep him in a bubble home, safe among the coral and bright fishes, sunbeams from the surface flickering over his face. The fanciful thought dissolves in the face of Will's cock thickening and his balls drawing up. Hannibal swallows once more and Will comes, thick and salty on Hannibal's tongue, rich with Will's unique proteins and esters. He holds Will in his mouth until he's limp again, ignoring the growing burn in his lungs in favor of ensuring he doesn't miss a single drop. When he surfaces again, Will is panting almost as hard as Hannibal, floating in the bath, looking utterly wrecked. His face is pink and beaded with sweat.
That may have been impulsive.
Will gives him an owlish blink.
I hope you're not expecting me to reciprocate. I've become a liquid.
Hannibal chuckles.
That you let me at all is reciprocation enough.
He has to prop Will up while they towel off, and half carries him to bed. Will buries his hot face gratefully in the cool pillows, and declines all but a sheet. However, less than an hour later, he becomes chilled and clings to Hannibal in his sleep, muttering dark gibberish. Abel Gideon had a wonderful time escaping the transport van and hanging the staff's organs from the tree, on two different levels, as what he thinks the Chesapeake Ripper is like, based on the description forced on him by Frederick Chilton, and as the patchy ghost of his own original self. Will, experiencing both as the only person alive who knows who the Chesapeake Ripper is, and with said Ripper standing watchfully at his back in the event of his own, is so disoriented he can feel his headache getting worse with every blink of his eyes. He hung the organs from the branches with vein from the victims, says Beverly Katz.
He even tied little bows with some of them, points out Jimmy Price.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, admits Brian Zeller.
I have to agree,
says Hannibal, peering closely at the securely netted kidney.
Veins have all the durability of cooked pasta.
Will is not going to yell at Hannibal in public. Hannibal continues.
It takes considerable skill to harvest a usable amount, even in an equipped operating room, much less with a... What did he use?
Zeller waves the oil dipstick from the van. Hannibal raises his eyebrows. Will is positive he's restraining himself from doing a golf clap and maybe jotting down some notes. The Chesapeake Ripper would not have left the organs behind, Will says. It feels like he's stating the blindingly obvious, but Jack nods like he said something profound.
Well, if Gideon isn't the Chesapeake Ripper, he's certainly trying to get his attention.
Will looks at Hannibal, surveying the gory scene, happy as a clam, and maybe a little jealous, and thinks, mission fucking accomplished. Hannibal goes back to his practice. Will meets Alana at BSHCI.
I'm expecting this to be a waste of time, she sighs. Thank you for coming out anyway.
At least Chilton's oily acquisitiveness towards Will is missing today. Maybe the rumors have reached him that Will is no longer a rarefied four, but rather a garden variety sentinel. Or he simply feels the ground under his feet shifting too much to be thinking expansionist thoughts. Will thinks the latter is more likely, judging by the smell of Chilton's flop sweat and his defensive sneering, heaping blame on everyone but himself, especially Alana. When even Alana's patience wears thin and she snaps at Chilton, Will tries to salvage something useful from the meeting.
What does Gideon want?
Last thing Abel Gideon said to me was he intended to tell everyone he's the Chesapeake Ripper.
Chilton's already racing heart speeds up yet more. He's lying, even as they're trying to recapture a killer who has it in for him. Is there a word for prioritizing one's reputation even above one's survival?
I'm sure there is, but I'm more concerned about your stoicism, Will. How much help can you be in bringing Gideon to ground if you are hallucinating a thicket of antlers in the briefing room? Why not just go home sick?
Will laughs shortly.
Pretty sure Jack would push me to a crime scene in a wheelchair if he had to. Besides, I wanted to go to the briefing to see if they'd found out anything new.
And have they?
No, it was just general information for all the extra warm bodies being brought in on the hunt.
You see? The FBI does not expect you to catch Gideon alone.
But you'd like it if we did, wouldn't you? Will looks steadily at Hannibal. Gideon took credit for your work. That's rude. And what was done to him is a pillar of your plan to frame Chilton. What you do with Gideon could be another pillar if you play your cards right.
I am all for opportunism, but not at the price of being reckless with your health, Will.
Will steps into Hannibal's space and is at once embraced. He butts Hannibal's forehead gently and says,
I'll rest after Gideon's caught, I promise.
Hannibal feels Will's forehead and makes an unhappy noise. I'd rather you rest now. Come, up to bed with you. Getting into bed does feel wonderful. Just as Will is drifting off, Hannibal asks, Earlier, when you said Gideon was rude, Will, did you mean? Will won't let himself pretend Hannibal isn't what he is. He's already admitted he isn't going to stop Hannibal by turning him in. Asking Hannibal to stop doesn't even occur to him. Might as well ask a shark to stop swimming. It just feels like time to shit or get off the pot. I mean, I know you want to eat him. Am I wrong?
No, Hannibal says. But I'm surprised it doesn't bother you more.
I spent weeks being plenty bothered.
And now?
Will yawns.
Fish is getting a little old, don't you think?
It seems silly to tolerate murder and balk at cannibalism. Hannibal is silent for a long time. Will is almost asleep when Hannibal rasps.
Remarkable boy.
He might say something else, but he starts stroking Will's hair, which puts Will out like a light, so he doesn't hear it. Hannibal has grave misgivings about taking Will to Quantico in the morning, but while his illness makes Will delightfully needy at home, it makes him more mulish than ever about work. If Hannibal doesn't give him a ride, he will just stagger into his own car and drive himself, risking his own and a wreck. Will calls him that evening. I'm in Baltimore, he says. The office of a Dr. Carruthers.
I know it, says Hannibal.
Dr. Carruthers, bloodless and festooned with a Colombian necktie, is on the front page of Tattle Crime.
I'll pick you up shortly.
Will is grayish, damp, and coughing when Hannibal arrives. Beverly Katz is waiting with him at the curb, and after Will has gotten into the car, she pulls Hannibal aside and hisses, For God's sake, keep him home tomorrow. I don't care if you have to sit on him. He's a walking biohazard. I heard that, Will yells from inside the Bentley, then coughs some more. So listen, Beverly retorts. Hannibal agrees wholeheartedly and will argue as such when the time comes. As they pull away from the curb, he says,
I saw the Tattle Crime article.
When we got there, the blood was packed in ice with a note to deliver it to the Red Cross. Will's cadence is flat, exhausted.
Gideon's peacocking for you, like flowers and chocolate before first date.
Oh, Will's tone is also annoyed. With effort, Hannibal ignores his flutter of pleasure at Will's jealousy and considers the information.
The blood was still hanging in the photo.
Yeah, he has Freddy Lowndes.
That complicates any plan to collect him.
I can't imagine he'll just drag her around like his girl Friday. He'll stash her somewhere.
The article contained several blatant hints.
Blatant to Hannibal, anyway.
She'll be at the observatory. He could easily contain her there while he ran errands.
What kind of errands?
What might the Chesapeake Ripper be pleased to find in that place, that Abel Gideon would know about?
Will says, quietly but with great feeling, Fucking shit. Chilton. He disrespected both your identities. Gideon will make a present of him.
He'll wait to collect him until fewer people are out and about.
Hannibal pauses while Will has a violent coughing fit and then goes on.
Which gives us time to go to my house and put you to bed.
I can handle it.
Any more hallucinations today, Will?
Just some water in the morgue, tame after the antlers. I think I'm on the mend. Hannibal can feel the heat pouring off Will from where he's sitting. The smell of his sickly sweat is no longer a novelty. It's just a concern. Back at Hannibal's house, Will chugs nearly a liter of water before Hannibal stops him, fearing he will throw it all back up. His fever is 103.
Have you been taking anything?
Will produces an entire bottle of aspirin from his pocket and shakes it, in the least encouraging manner possible. Hannibal takes the bottle away from him.
You're lucky you haven't burnt a hole in your stomach lining or started hemorrhaging. In 4 hours, if you are still feverish, you may have 2 Tylenol and only 2.
Hannibal is reminded of the ER nurses he used to work with, giving withering lectures on elementary self-care to adults who should know better. Will rolls his eyes.
Pitfalls of bonding with a doctor.
Indeed. Hannibal steers Will up the stairs and into another bath, lukewarm this time, much to Will's displeasure. His teeth are chattering by the time Hannibal lets him dry off. He crawls into bed and glares balefully at Hannibal from under the blankets. Despite his worry, Hannibal can't hold back a chuckle.
You look like a wet cat.
Will huffs. I feel about as mad as one. Get over here and rub my back. He groans when Hannibal complies, arching under his hands.
Are your muscles sore, Will?
Yeah. Like I went for a really hard run.
When was the last time you got a flu shot?
I don't know. Back when I was a cop, I guess? A lot of germs in lockup and waiting rooms. Not to mention the emergency department.
Classrooms are also notorious, especially if you are already under stress. If it is influenza, you'll recover in another few days with rests and fluids.
Gideon?
I will handle Gideon tonight, and you are going to sleep.
Hannibal pushes his guide voice as far as he dares, and Will drops off with a sigh. Hannibal stays with him until he's quite sure Will is deeply under, then gets up and drives to Frederick Chilton's house. He discreetly assures himself that Frederick is still safe at home, which he is, puttering anxiously around his white and silver nightmare of a house. Mildly notable as an art piece, but totally unsuited as a habitat for a human being. And then parks within sight of the most concealed approach. He waits less than 3 hours before a SUV slowly circles the block, and then parks in the spot Hannibal had been watching. He pulls up alongside it and rolls down his window. Abel Gideon does the same.
Dr. Gideon, I presume?
Gideon nods cautiously and asks,
Are you the Chesapeake Ripper?
Please get in the car.
Gideon does so, but glances up at the house after he sits down. Frederick's not just a gift for you. I deserve to get inside his belly the way he got inside my head.
Were you going to kill him?
Gideon smiles crookedly. Only if his doctors failed him. I wanted to remove all his non-essential organs and leave them in his hands, like a gift basket. Hannibal has to admit, he likes that. If it hadn't been Hannibal Gideon claimed to be, Hannibal would find this man very amusing. Will jerks awake, heart pounding like he had a nightmare. But it's something in the waking world that's disturbed him. There's somebody here, somebody who doesn't belong. He lurches out of the bed and almost falls over, putting his hands on his knees and hanging his head until the dizziness passes. Then he stumbles out into the hall.
Hannibal?
He croaks through his aching throat.
There's someone here.
Someone tries to rush him from behind, and he only just ducks in time. Spinning as he skids to a stop, Abel Gideon blinks at him.
Why, Mr. Graham, fancy meeting you here,
he purrs. He looks Will up and down saucily.
I don't know which is your biggest problem. How ill you look, who your doctor is, or that you appear to be fucking him.
Where's Hannibal? Will growls. Gideon shrugs.
Downstairs.
Will can smell Hannibal on him. There are some of Hannibal's hairs on the sleeves of Gideon's jacket, and Hannibal's heart is beating somewhere downstairs. Will drops from insipid panic back down to fucking pissed. Will widens and lowers his stance and turns towards Gideon. He knows exactly how dangerous this stocky, middle-aged man is, how he managed to kill 3 trained professionals while shackled and handcuffed. Will is smaller, skinnier, sick as a dog, and naked. He has his work cut out for him.
How did you get the drop on him?
Gideon raises his eyebrows.
He's one of those guides, did you know that? Tried to whammy me with his voice, but I guess the furniture in my head got moved around too much for that to work quite right.
More likely because the guide voice works best when the listener already wants to do what the guide is suggesting. Will can't imagine what Hannibal asked Gideon to do.
So you played along until he got close? But why'd you run upstairs?
Gideon smirks. See if I could find anything useful. He rushes Will again, and Will steps to the side and grabs his arm. Gideon's momentum pivots him around that suddenly fixed point, and he crashes face first into the door jamb with a resounding knock. Gideon's up and moving again before Will can put him in a headlock, but now he's streaming blood from a gash on his forehead. It's in his eyes. Good. And looking almost as wobbly as Will feels.
I see,
he croons, still in that same nonchalant tone. Save Will from psychopaths and their narrow fucking ranges of emotions.
So your biggest problem is being ill, then?
No, Will mutters. My biggest problem is some fucking prick waking me up at fuck-off o'clock. Gideon chuckles and starts circling Will. Will backs away, out into the hall.
Who are you to him? The him I thought I was doesn't have a place for you.
You mean who Chilton thought you were? Smeared into your brain with an ink roller? Gideon's face flinches with real distress for a moment.
That's the one.
Will sees his opening and rushes Gideon in turn, and gets a good grip around his middle. He propels Gideon backwards, heaves with his thighs, and flips him over the banister. He lands badly on the first few steps up from the ground floor. I'm his fucking sentinel.
You're a menace to carpets everywhere is what you are,
Hannibal says dryly, having only just sidestepped Gideon's descent. Will sags against the railing, dizzy again, this time with relief and adrenaline.
Glad to see you up and about.
Hannibal climbs the stairs 2 at a time.
I'm sorry he woke you, but glad he didn't hurt you.
He's badly disheveled, and there's a spot of blood on his temple.
What did he do to you?
He tried to do several things, and I will be cleaning and repairing my kitchen for some time as a result. He eventually succeeded in hitting me with a cast-iron frying pan. He reaches Will and looks at him with mingled pride and concern. Will grinds his teeth and spits.
Fucker, I'd like to drag him up here and drop him again.
He can't seem to unclench his teeth, and his heart is accelerating wildly.
Will? Will?
Hannibal's voice is frantic, and then everything washes away into static.
Dr. Lecter, is Will with you? He didn't show up for work this morning, and he's not answering his cell phone. I know he's sick, but it's not like him to not be in touch.
Jack sounds more worried than irritated. Hannibal doesn't care.
Will is in the Sentinel wing of John Hopkins, he says. He had a seizure last night. His fever is 105, and his white blood cell count is twice normal.
Jesus! They figure out what's wrong?
Influenza, which progressed into viral pneumonia.
Hannibal has taken the time to pace through his mind palace, throwing deadbolts and dragging furniture in front of certain doors. He can't afford to think about why pneumonia bothers him so much. He can't afford to think about what he can't afford to think about. Not with Will in the hospital and Abel Gideon, broken but alive, in his basement.
Were you only calling to find out where Will is?
I was going to tell him to stay home in any case. Freddie Lowndes put up a message on Tattlecrime asking someone to come get her at the observatory where we found Miriam Lass's arm. Gideon went out on errands and never came back. Until another body drops, there's nothing for Will to look at.
I would have insisted he stay home even if there were more bodies, fearing the exact outcome that has now occurred. Will already pushed himself too hard, Jack. It's a mistake to push him harder.
You're not wrong, Jack says heavily. But I can't not use the best tools at my disposal.
A tool is no longer usable if you break it.
Hannibal can hear Jack blowing out an irritated breath over the phone.
Gideon's still at large, and I've got my people spread thin between trying to track him down and protective details on the people he's most likely to go after. If you need to go home, get hospital security to put a guard on Will's room, at least until he regains consciousness. I'll send a notification over to their desk to that effect.
All right.
Hannibal ends the call and goes back to holding Will's hand, feeling his pulse. It's heavily silent in the room, soundproofed like all the suites in the Sentinel wing. Above the hiss of the oxygen mask, he can hear Will's every bubbling breath.